Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now on a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for Friday. This is the broadcast for July 8th in the year of our Lord, 2022, and this is hour two of two. Our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, with us both hours today for the special extended interview of Ken Cromar. Please support Barbie and Ken against Goliath IRS. If it could happen to Ken and Barb, it could happen to you. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com is the website. Barbie and Ken denied right to subpoena witnesses for the criminal IRS trial. The IRS is criminal in this case. It's a crooked child trial, to say the least. They asked the question to Ken, hey, you're a vexatious litigant. They make this allegation. Folks, do you even know what a vexatious litigant even means? Well, litigant is somebody who intentionally files all kinds of litigation. But all Ken's doing is defending himself from the belligerent hostilities of an out-of-control, unconstitutional government. I don't know how he's a vexatious litigant. They force him to file documents to defend themselves. They force him to try to do all these. Why don't they just stop their force? And maybe he won't litigate. But what is a litigant? Is a litigant somebody forced to defend themselves? I think not. Anyway, I digress, but then they're blocking and striking the record of all filings because they consider him a vexatious litigant. Denial of witnesses of Ken's choosing. Can't even have your own witnesses there. Witness tampering. We can get into that a little later. Denial of counsel, claiming he had to be a state-licensed bar attorney, which is a lie. All right, now, let me just ask you one question, then we're going to turn it over to Dr. Scott Bradley to respond to all this. Why am I highlighting this so much, ladies and gentlemen? Because we have a bunch of new people listening this hour. Via another network joining us, Bridie on radio joining us, a lot of different listeners on this hour, etc. So I wanted to summarize what's going on. You want to learn more about this whole thing? MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com. You can learn about Ken Cromar's case. We played audio literally from the court where Ken tried to file documents, and then he literally got assaulted by, I don't know, a deputy or some cop somewhere or whatever for violating what laws we don't even know because they won't answer. They won't, level with us about what's going on. They just want to intimidate. That was the last hour. If you want to go back and listen, please do. It'll be up after the broadcast as fast as we can get it done. In the meantime, though, I got a question, and then I want to turn it over to Scott Bradley. I want the doctor to break it on down for us. So as far as I understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Declaration of Independence was written and carried out. Why? Because of a vexatious government, don't you know? So I love how they use these words to try to intimidate and make you seem like you're the bad guy. You get a vexatious government attacking Americans over unconstitutional lack of due process. Okay, that's what's going on. And then Ken defends himself and they say, oh, vexatious litigant. Oh, paper terrorist. Oh, see, they love to make up these words and manipulate you into, quote, the hot seat as if you're somehow the bad guy. But what we're talking about really in the Declaration of Independence highlights it, and we're sadly seeing it a couple of hundred years later, history repeats itself. You got a vexatious government going on, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there's so many things. I hate to even interject in this whole thing due to the fact that, it is fascinating to watch this thing unfold and to hear what Ken has been, basically the knot hole that he's been pounded through. It's interesting you bring up the Declaration. I hadn't thought of that until just this minute in terms of this point number 10, where there was 27 justifications for the
Declaration. There's 27 vexations highlighted, gentlemen.
Right. He has erected, speaking of the king, a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Well, that's basically, back in the early days of this nation, there was the general government. Many people call it a federal government or, the national government. It's neither federal nor national, but it's a general government. Had a very small footprint, and it's gotten a very big footprint now, and it's got highly armed officers to to enforce their, they're not really laws, they're policies, they're regulations, they're things that were not created under a constitutional mandate of all legislative authority being from the legislature, the House and the Senate. They cannot constitutionally delegate that to anybody else. I mean, there's so many things that have happened that have caused us to stray from the original formula that was really designed to maintain liberty. And I don't want to diverge too much, but just a couple of little quick things. I want to get back to Ken's story. But one thing to think about, the Sixth Amendment was largely influenced by something that had been going on in England for years, the Star Chamber. And the Star Chamber was kind of a secret court where there was some weird things that went on. I mean, people got convicted. Sir Walter Raleigh lost his head over a written deposition by somebody that he never got a chance to even cross-examine, if you will, or his attorney didn't, or whomever would have been representing him. And it was kind of like somebody's statement, a written statement that could have been reviewed and issues could have been pointed out in it, which would have hopefully, for Sir Walter Raleigh's outcome, demonstrated that there was no case. It didn't work out that way. They could do it by just written deposition. And so they wanted to make certain that these witnesses and this confrontation of witnesses and so on. The Star Chamber also had a very interesting approach where now we just don't want you to see who's talking. So they talked through a hole in a door. They gave their testimony there. And so, you know, it was just one of those secret kinds of things that went on and on and on. And the founding fathers said, no, we ain't going to do that. So the Sixth Amendment was there about this, informed of the nature of accusation, confront the witnesses, compulsory process of obtaining witnesses, all these kinds of things. And it has to be compulsory, by the way, because some of you may have been out on the street and witnessed a car accident. And, oh, man, I don't want to be involved in this. It's just going to take time. But, no, if you saw it, and something you saw may have some kind of outcome kind of program that would be able to be said in court. No. This guy said this guy said that, and it needs to be heard in court. And that you need to be able to make sure people get there. But that's one other quick thing, and then I'll just move on because I want to go back to Ken. But the last time I was subpoenaed to go to be on a jury, one of the questions was, who in all of history would you most want to meet? Now, of course, there's a lot of people I'd like to meet, but the number one would be the Savior, and that was my answer. Well, we can't have that guy on the jury. They booted me from the jury, but at any rate, you know, it's so interesting. There's a lot of filtering processes that go, and so there is a selection process that I believe can be manipulated, and I believe in many instances it is, and it takes us away on so many levels from the original intent of the American Founding Fathers to bias the system in favor of the accused and making sure justice did happen. And so maybe some of the listeners are scratching their head going, well, how else can this go bad? And maybe we need to go back to Ken.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we go back to Ken, this serious question that I want you to ponder. Has Ken been forced into an unconstitutional Star Chamber? That's what it looks like to me, sir. When you can't call your own witnesses, when you can't file anything in the courts, when you can't defend yourself from their abuses, when they take your home and make you homeless, when they create these, because of the COVID, everybody's got to be remote on this thing instead of having a real face-to-face meeting with the accused, facing your accuser, and then the jury being able to, you know, hear your statements and feel the passion in your voice and hear from your heart and see your body movements to determine the genuineness of Ken's beliefs and views and understandings, all that literally denied, ladies and gentlemen, because we got the COVID. We can't. Okay, this is nuts on parade, ladies and gentlemen, violating all aspects of your First Amendment, all aspects of your liberty. You're innocent until proven guilty, status that we used to prize in America. Now we mock. But Ken, let's start there, though. I mean, that's what's happening, right? A Star Chamber almost.
Oh, yeah. You know, the list of violations of due process and basic constitutional rights that were violated are crazy. I'll just quick rehash is we weren't allowed to have our own counsel of our choice. You have to have a state licensed bar attorney. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say anything about bar attorneys, let alone state licensed ones, let alone a person can have the counsel that they want. So we were denied that. We were denied access to subpoena the witnesses of our choice. Oh no, you can't have this witness or that witness. But before that, you can even ask, we have to get into the trial before you can ask for your subpoenas to be signed by the court, because 11 days before the trial, which was still short notice, we denied them to you then because you weren't a bar attorney, and then we assaulted you on the way out. A deputy assaults me on the way out of the court, peacefully leaving. We were denied access to file on the court for 13 months. We were not allowed to. Well, I take that back. Pardon me. 6 months ago, they said you can't file unless you're a state licensed bar attorney, and then they struck everything we'd filed 13 months prior, so we had no representation on the court. It's crazy, Sam. It's crazy.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the question. Will Ken Cromar file an appeal? We'll talk about that, too. We'll do it all in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley and Ken Cromar on your radio.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Gert Van den Bosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Ken Cromar with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Dr. Bradley conducting an incredible interview about due process. Is Ken forced into an unconstitutional star chamber was my question right before the pause. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to talk about this. The witnesses, the witness tampering that took place, mocking on the stand when Ken and others were there. This is all impartial to an abusive, hostile, star chamber-like court. Ken, let's start there with some of these witnesses and kind of what happened, and then the jury. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we talked in the last hour about some of the witnesses that were denied, including the commissioner of the IRS, who had already vindicated us, saying that we have no claim on the Cromars from 1990 through 2020. And
now,
they
let me
would
stop
not
you there and say, this is how this all started out, ladies and gentlemen, is they claimed they had something over the Cromars. When push came to shove and they went to court, eventually the IRS commissioner said, we don't have anything on them. It's not true. We don't. So it all, from that point of view, is all dismissed. Not true.
Right.
Not valid.
Right.
Guilty of, hold on, guilty of, can we all say it together? Nothing.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen. Nothing.
The charge was.
But then somehow this morphs and continues. But yet,
right.
Ken's the vexatious litigant? Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. We're talking vexatious government is what we're talking about. So it has a life of its own now. Even though the IRS commissioner says, hey, there's nothing here. And you can't have the IRS commissioner state that in court either. No, sir. Ken?
Right, right. You know, so many strange things happen during the trial. For example, I would call witnesses or cross-examine theirs, including the fellow who thinks he bought our home and through an illegal IRS process. Well, we said no. The court itself said that it was the Eddington, Nathan Eddington, a young man, a highway patrolman, government employee, by the way, who won the auction. But they wouldn't allow that information to come forward. Well, we subpoenaed those two men, Nathan Eddington and his father, Mike Eddington, and live right across the street from Kurt Crosby, by the way. And what happened is while they were waiting in the lobby for the they were hostile. They didn't want to be there, but we required it. I went out into the lobby area to see where my witnesses were, and sure enough, the prosecutor's talking to them. And I holler over and I say, Mr. Perkins, are you coaching my witnesses? Oh, are there? And it's like, you can't do that, okay? And then, of course, they were very circumspect in how they answered the questions, I presume, because of how they were coached by a prosecutor who had no right to talk to them at all. And he did it anyway. So then another couple of things is that during the trial, I would be cross-examining the witness, Mr. Belliston, who said that he had purchased our home. He was taunting me from the witness box and soliciting laughter from the jury. It's kind of like they all kind of were in on something that the Cromars knew nothing about. It's like, this is so cozy. What is going on here? And
either
and
they knew each
to,
other might be a question, or the other question
maybe.
Is, what were they told somehow without Ken or Ken's side of the discussion knowing what they were told? What information were they given? See, these things really start to make you think, Star Chamber. Let's have Dr. Bradley respond really quick. Dr. Bradley?
Yeah.
Well, Ken used a term early in this whole discussion in the first hour about everything being a club. I mean, he didn't say everything, but he talked about the bar being a club. And few people, if any, know, the bar, they're an official kind of, you know, quasi-government organization, blah, blah, blah. The interesting thing about it is the bar truly is a self-regulating industry group. I mean, these are people that, I mean, it's incestuous,
monopoly.
First of all.
Monopoly.
I mean, monopoly, okay, but the problem is that they are self-regulating. They're incestuous because they feed, well, they inbreed, I guess you could say, the way they do things, and they set their own guideline standards and operational procedures, which, if you were willing to think about this, is professional birth control. I mean, there's a couple of terms, incestuous and professional birth control, but they decide who's going to enter the group. It's a dues-paying group. These people pay dues, and they have meetings in which they create their own policy and direction and guidelines. This is not like this is not a we the people kind of thing, and so much of what happens that is in the court system now is a club-like situation. You say, more industries ought to be self-regulating. That may be true. In fact, why do we need regulations in most cases anyway? All these licensure laws and everything like that are really weird. But we do have some really strange things going on. And if people were willing to do a little research, oftentimes when I get on the radio or do a webinar or something like that, I say, go read this, go read this, go do your own research. People need to start getting smart themselves. We need to stop turning everything over to the professionals who are going to tell us what we need to think and believe. And it begins right in your public education system. And again, don't get me off on that tangent.
But we go to the next level, though. One thing is to deny witnesses. Another thing is to infect the jury in certain ways. But witness tampering goes to a whole new level. This happened as well, Ken.
Yep. So you've sparked a lot of thoughts from me, Scott. Let me just point out a couple of things you mentioned about professional. You're not going to believe this, but the prosecutor actually discounted every one of our witnesses because they were commenting about the Constitution, but they weren't lawyers. They weren't attorneys. They weren't bar attorneys. And hence he raised the question, these people can't know what they're talking about because they're not bar attorneys. Oh my gosh. So you can't, of the people, the document, God created man and woman created the Constitution. The Constitution created, gave the outline for government. So you have to be a bar attorney to understand the Constitution was what.
Yeah, and these bar attorneys can't even define the word woman, just so you know.
Yeah, there you go. So what was really interesting was during the trial, a juror actually passed a question to the judge. The judge said, Judge Christine Johnson said, they're not supposed to even have papers up there to write notes, but somebody did it, and here's what the question was. And I'm paraphrasing. I think I'm pretty close. Did I hear Ken Cromar say that the U.S. tax court had exonerated them? Now, she made a big deal out of this and showed it to us and then went on and on about it. I took pictures of it. I've got pictures of that piece of paper. And then what she said was, Mr. Prosecutor, how do you feel about this? Well, our jury has been tampered with, or not, those aren't the terms he used, but that was his point. And therefore, we have to tell them to disregard any comment that they heard with regards to the U.S. tax court exonerating the Cromars. And so, can you believe it? We've had 15 court cases. Court case number 13 is making us out to be criminals because we, quote unquote, burglarized our own home. And they were facing 1 to 15 years, which is essentially the rest of our lives. And yet the jury is not allowed to hear what happened in case 14 and 15, where we sued the commissioner of the IRS. And he had to admit he wanted the case dismissed because he said he had no claim over us from 1990 to 2020. There were no notices of determination, no notices of deficiency that they could present that would actually claim on the Cromars. What? The jury can't have that information? They can't have what happened in case 1 through 12? No, you can only talk about what we want to talk about. There's another point that you made, Scott. I'm shifting gears. Did you know that the bar is actually called the British Accredited Registry? What that means, for those of us who've done a lot of research, is they're actually a foreign agency, club, association, tied directly to Britain, to the Crown. So when they pay their dues each month or year, I forget what it is, a portion of that money goes to the Crown.
Let me say it a different way. We cooked the books, laddie.
Yeah. Well, check this out. By law, there's a place called FARA.gov where foreign agents and lobbyists are required to register. There's not many. Go look it up, FARA.gov. There's very few people that are registered, let alone attorneys who are now foreign agents. They're called esquires, which is a title of nobility, which the original 13th Amendment disallowed. That got swept under the rug, or we would never have had bar attorneys in government. That would have been the law. But somehow they swept that under the rug, and the original 13th Amendment doesn't exist. It's a crazy thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bar. Now, I've heard of the American Bar Association. That's where people go get drunk, according to the country legends, right? What kind of a bar is this? Ladies and gentlemen, do we have due process in America, I would ask?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics is reporting Friday that 372,000 jobs were added in June to American non-farm businesses. The unemployment rate was 3.6%. Sad news out of Japan. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, one of the nation's most powerful political figures, was shot and killed during a campaign speech Friday in the western Japanese city of Nara. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. Two Federal Reserve officials backed another 0.75 percentage point interest rate increase at the central bank's meeting later this month and said it would be too soon to conclude if the Fed's rate increases this year would be sufficient to bring inflation down. Fed Governor Christopher Waller said during a webinar Thursday, "We need to move to a much more restrictive setting in terms of interest rates, and we need to do this as quickly as possible," end quote. USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
North Dakota's sole abortion clinic filed a lawsuit in state court Thursday seeking to block a trigger law that bans abortions. The Red River Women's Clinic argues that the ban violates the right to life, safety, and happiness guaranteed by the state constitution. The abortion ban in North Dakota is there to save lives of unborn babies. As the Biden administration continues to extend the Welcome Act to illegal aliens into the country, the Republican Texas governor is countering with his own unwelcome act.
When a Texas police officer catches an illegal immigrant, they're now allowed to take that person back to the border. Governor Greg Abbott issuing an executive order that changes the rules for both state troopers and the Texas National Guard. In a statement, he says the move is meant to curb cartel smuggling. The Republican has been under pressure from some in his party to declare a spike in illegal immigration as an invasion. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The Bar Association, right? They call it a credit registry. They say some claim that this is the meaning of bar. All lawyers are secretly employed by the British government. This is false, they claim. Ken? Very strange how they play games with this, right?
Absolutely. The British Accredited Registry is the main organization, and it's out of London. It's the Crown, okay? And there's various associations that have developed over many years to where you've got your American Bar Association, you've got your Utah Bar Association, you've got all the different ones. Every country seems to have their own subchapter of this association. Most people do not know that if you have a bar attorney, that he actually steals your power of attorney and actually signs bonds and documents. If you were, for example, if you were actually sentenced to go to prison, there's three people that sign it: the judge, the prosecutor, and your own attorney. In other words, if you didn't have an attorney, you'd be required to sign it yourself. But if you don't sign it, they don't have authority over you. It's a complicated process. That's oversimplification of what I just said. But that's the kind of thing that goes on. People think that when they hire an attorney, they're working for them. No, not so. Their job, first and foremost, is to act as an officer of the court. They are beholden to the court. They have to be in good graces with the court, or they don't work next time. So it's a very rigid monopoly that is not designed to represent and help the people that are supposedly sucked into these courts. By the way, one of our key arguments was, we're not a corporation. You're treating us like a corporation. Utah Corporation, here's your EIN number. Here's your Dun & Bradstreet number. Why is it that you're treating us like a corporation where we're clearly a living man and a woman standing on the land under the law of the land, which is the Constitution? We're not in your jurisdiction. And yet they refuse to address those issues. A corporation cannot sue a man or a woman. And by the way, this is how tricky these people are. They say, well, we can sue, a corporation can sue a person. And you know what a person is? Anything they define it as, if you go to USC, United States Code, Title I, go read what it says a person is. A person is either, I'm not even going to try to explain it. It's a mess of wordplay designed to capture anybody and everybody they want to into their legalese. And it's, the bar is the enemy. The bar is not our friend. And so the judge, here's another strange thing. The judge said, I'm declaring that you have decided that you're not guilty. That's your plea. No, we had our microphone turned off on us on hearings, and we weren't even allowed to object. We stated unequivocally, we've never had a bar attorney, so nobody can go sign our bonds. And by the way, you can't declare that the Cromars say that they're not guilty. We've never pled. We've never pled guilty. We've never pled not guilty. We're innocent. The moment you plead, you're now admitting into their jurisdiction. We know the law, and we've never pled. And yet they proceeded with a trial based on the fact, they say the fact, that we pled guilty when it was the judge that entered that plea, not us. Do you see the craziness of our courts? Our nation's being destroyed by the court.
Dr.
And that's
Radley,
where we're at today.
It's interesting to me, going back to these guys that stood at the head, if you will, when the nation was being established, and I often say those today are not worthy to stand in their shadows, let alone stand in their place. But I've got before me a letter right now that Thomas Jefferson wrote, and we've talked about some of the attorney, I don't know, nonsense that's going on. Attorneys have a very high opinion of their opinion, and very many of them do sit in office as legislators that create other laws that, in a basis, generate business for their profession. And I've mentioned earlier about this confusing law that I knew of. Someone was being tried against, and it was poorly written, easily understood. And the jury was not allowed to hear it, I think, because the judge and the prosecutor knew that they'd say, wait, I don't understand that either. How can we hold this individual judged and sentence them based upon that? But here's the letter with Thomas Jefferson. It says, laws are made for men of ordinary understanding and should therefore be construed by the ordinary rules of common sense. Their meaning is not to be sought for in metaphysical subtleties, which may make anything mean everything or nothing at pleasure. And that's kind of where we are in our legal system nowadays. And there's another federal judge, he's a current character, if you will, that said, oh, no, you need us judges there. None of you mere mortals are able to understand the Constitution and the laws and everything. But that's the antithesis of what the intent was as this nation was founded. And this statement by Thomas Jefferson kind of captures that. Their meaning is not to be sought for in metaphysical subtleties, which may make anything mean everything or nothing at pleasure. And that's kind of what we've done with the plain English words of the Constitution. They're subject to constant revision based upon redefinition, and by that we can make it mean everything or nothing, and by doing so we have no Constitution. And that's where we really are at risk all across the nation, because of the way these professional wordsmiths, if you will, that have such a high opinion of their opinion are doing with our laws as well as our Constitution. So we're in a tough spot right now in America.
Yeah, we are. You know,
a lot of us claim that it's the British accredited registry is what the bar stands for. Now, the mainstream press and others want you to believe that's a false notion, that isn't true. What bar means is it's just this designator, this kind of wall that separates the average Joe who goes and watches a court proceeding from the lawyers and attorneys and professional people that have a right to be with the judge, if you will, in the courtroom. And the bar is kind of the literal wall that kind of separates this, and that's all the bar means. My response is, then why would you pass a bar exam? Why would you? Okay, it doesn't make any sense. How do they keep track of the lawyers that are members of the bar? If all it is a wall designated between, how does that turn into a registry of attorneys if it's not a registry of attorneys? See, I'm not very smart, Ken.
Yeah, well, I'm not either, because none of this makes sense. We feel like we're Alice in Wonderland, where nothing makes any sense, and that's by design. You know, let me give you one more example. A couple of examples. The prosecutor kept testifying when he was asking questions, and I kept saying, "Madam Johnson, objection." If the prosecutor is going to testify, I want him put under oath. Oh, no, we don't do that. Well, he's testifying. He needs to be put under oath. And you never hear that kind of a discussion in
court.
Yeah,
what if he lies? Is there a penalty of perjury? What happens to him if he lies, Your Honor?
Yeah, so then there's that. And I think I mentioned a little bit earlier that the judge got passed a note from one of the jurors that said, did Mr. Cromer say that Barbie and Ken had not that the IRS commissioner had exonerated them with no claim for 30 years. And the judge used that, and the prosecutor used that as an excuse to now give the jury instructions about anything that you heard about the IRS and the Cromars being exonerated must be, I forget the word they use, not excused or not given
expunged.
Any weight. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you can't at all refer to it, count on it, think about it, jettison that. That's not part of this discussion. You're on notice. Now, I don't even believe that the jurors, that the judges or the prosecutor or anybody has the right to instruct the jury thus, Dr. Bradley.
Well, yeah, we talked about it. Yep.
Well, it's, and I hate to interject too much, but. Until the Supreme Court Sparf case in 1895, and I've got an extensive quotation by Jefferson that explains it in detail, but would probably take more time than we'd like to spend on it. But basically, Jefferson's position and the Founding Fathers' position was that the jury had the right and indeed the responsibility in the case before them to judge both the law and the facts. So what they could do is they could say the law says blah, 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 you know, thou shalt not kill anybody with a handgun, for example, but a frail, light, small woman kills a brutal attacker with a handgun. She's guilty under the law, but it's unjust to convict her. So the jury could, you know, throw the case out. That's what the jury's responsibility always has been. That's why Jefferson wanted the jury written into a Bill of Rights.
Ken Cromer. Dr. Bradley, continue in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Cromar with us, Dr. Scott Bradley with us. We're talking about Ken Cromar's trial. What an absolute sham. The bottom line, though, is witness tampering and beyond. The prosecution literally got with witnesses and kind of directed them, right, Ken?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Even down to us slipping out, trying to get some information to the jury through questions and things, about the fact that we had sued the commissioner of the IRS, Barbara, and I in separate cases, and we both won. The commissioner of the IRS had admitted that he had no notices of determination, no notices of deficiency, lawful ones that he could use to claim the Cromars from 1990 to 2020. That's 31 straight years, and more than covered the few scattered ones within that time frame that they'd originally come against us on to then steal our home. And then charges with burglary of a dwelling, of our own home. So none of this makes any sense, but they had to instruct the jury, you cannot pay attention to anything that has to do with that's been said about the U.S. tax court and the Cromars being exonerated. You can't do that. Sam and Scott, two miracles happen. As you know, we believe in miracles. Our website, miraclesingodwetrust.com. It's all about trusting in the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ. And we have done that. We have laid everything on the altar of God, saying, use us, make us a tool in your hands. We'll do anything you want us to do. And we've seen miracle after miracle. Two miracles that occurred I want to share with you in that court. Despite being blocked to talk about the U.S. tax court, the arrogance of the prosecution and the bench, the judge, was so profound that two miracles happened. One of our neighbors across the street used to be a firefighter, and the other used to be, the husband used to be a deputy in Riverside, California. So these are government officials. They'd been abused by the IRS. They had tried to do things. Remember when Lois Lerner and all that stuff attacking Patriot groups, you remember all that? They'd been victimized, so they knew bad stuff when they saw it. Well, we put her on the stand, and under cross-examination, she said, I know that the Cromars were exonerated. And he pounced on that. Are you an attorney? Are you a bar attorney? No, but I understand the Constitution. No, you can't understand it. You're not a bar attorney. I'm not making this up. These are the kinds of things that were said throughout the trial. And she said, but I read the judgment. You read the judgment? You couldn't have read the judgment. I read the judgment. I give you the witness, Mr. Cromar. I immediately pounced on that and provided the one-page ruling that said that we won. And I gave it to the prosecutor, and I gave it to the judge. May I approach? Boom, gave it to her. She sat there and read it for 5 minutes. And she didn't know what to do. She dismissed the jury, put them into the back room. And then this miracle happened. There was a righteous indignation that I went after the prosecutor for denying us this opportunity to put this on the record and let the jury hear the truth that they needed to hear to be able to make a proper judgment. And then in the thick of the miracle, the judge was silenced by the truth in her own mind. And I literally read into the record that ruling, starting at the top, who, you know, all the details, the case number, everything right down through the middle of the paragraph that covered the 1990 through 2020, and it's on the record. They can't take it off. It's on the record. So on appeal, suddenly everything is going to be able to be dealt with. Number two, a couple of days prior, at the end of the day, the jury had already been dismissed. And what happened is the judge got super angry at me because I kept saying, have you read the habeas corpus? The Utah Court of Appeals is now involved. You're ignoring the orders. And my boss told me to just keep going with the trial was her answer, or the head judge. And pardon me. And at that moment, she lost it. She got so angry at me that she lost it, and she was embarrassed because she had a meltdown, and all of the people that she worked with saw it, and her own conscience convicted her, and she was still steaming. And I said, Madam Johnson, a very soft voice, I said, Madam Johnson, every time I speak, you interrupt me, and I'm never able to finish a comment and put things on the record. This is a very important moment, and I need you to be quiet and still. Do you think you could be quiet and still for a couple of minutes and allow me to get this on the record that we want to get on the record? Go ahead, she said. She was still steaming. She couldn't talk anymore. Her own conscience convicted her. We read into the record a document, which I'm not going to try to explain, except for to say it's called the Savers and Suitors Clause. And what that did was acknowledge that the common law runs concurrent with the Constitution, and that you don't have any authority to not allow the jury to be instructed about their rights to nullification. It was a long, complex document that I read the case sites right into the record with parentheses and periods and colons, and she couldn't say a thing. And we instructed the court that we have now taken control of the court with regards to the common law, and that the jury shall be instructed according to their rights to nullify. And we gave orders to the court to release the bonds, all the different kinds of bonds, release the bail, release the case, and to dismiss this case with prejudice. The judge was so confused, she had no idea what had just happened, but that's on the record too. We're going to be posting that on our website, Miracles in God We Trust. And then you look for the tab that says Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS. It's the second tab in where we keep a lot of information, as well as CedarHillsCitizens.org. That's CedarHillsCitizens, plural.org.
C-E-D-A-R, where we keep a lot of information. Cedar Hills, ladies and gentlemen. So, Ken, are you and Barb going to file an appeal?
That's the plan. And we need to be careful about what we say. Nothing's definitive. But we do know where we need to go. And the bottom line is this, Sam, Scott, this is not our battle. This is the Lord's fight. Something miraculous is trying to happen here. We don't understand it. We're just simply trying to follow the impressions. We've got these people so tied up in knots, they're breaking the law at every turn, and it's on the record, and they can't hide it. They want us in prison. They say they're not going to give us jail time. They say that. But we don't trust these people. They could change their mind at sentencing, which is supposed to happen on August 18th. And they are determined to destroy us. But with the prayers of your audience and good Lord getting done what he wants to get done, all of these criminal acts are going to be exposed. And I believe that his intent, the Lord's intent, is to have all of these people in the 15 different court cases lassoed up into one little package and have them destroy themselves by what they did. And I just need to end by saying I believe it all focuses on one man who started this entire problem by the name of Robert J. Shelby. He's the chief judge over the U.S. District Court in the original case of United States versus Barbara and Ken Cromar et al. And in that case, we never were allowed a hearing before the chief judge. We were never allowed a clarification of what the claim was. What law did we break? They wouldn't tell us. They just said, you got to answer. And because you won't answer, we're going to give a judgment. We never had a hearing.
By the way, when you answer, we won't even accept your filings. We won't even accept your responses because you're a vexatious litigant.
Yes.
What?
but we believe that this is all going to come back to Robert J. Shelby. And let me tell you who he is. If you look up his wiki, Robert J. Shelby, his most notable case is the one that happened in 2012. Let me back up to say that in 2011, it was Barack Hussein Obama who appointed him to that court. And it was the very next year that he took on a case called Kitchen versus somebody, I can't remember. But what he did was, with a stroke of his pen, decided that the Utah Constitution Amendment 3 that defines marriage between a man and a woman was unconstitutional, and he struck it out by himself. That case rippled through other states, not all of them, but enough that it ended up at the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court determined, I don't even know what they determined, but marriage is whatever you want it to be, essentially.
I guess Kitchen versus Herbert, our nation, just for the record.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Kitchen versus and damned Herbert, our, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. And damned our nation to hell. And I don't think the Lord takes kindly to that. I feel sorry for all the people who have tried to help each other and cover for their mistakes and whatnot. We've got over 200 people who have denied their oath of office. Every man that a law enforcement officer that the prosecution put up on the stand, we asked, did you take an oath of office? Do you understand it? Do you think it's important to keep it? What happens when somebody breaks their oath of office? What is the term domestic enemy, as in defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic? What does that mean to you? You'd be embarrassed by the pathetic answers that came out of those prosecution witnesses. Sam, Scott, our nation is hanging by a thread. The courts have destroyed us, but we believe, Barbara and I, that we've needed to put our lives on the line, and I mean it, our lives are on the line, but we trust him because he is the God of miracles, and he loves our freedoms and our agency, and I believe that we're going to see a great explosion of exposure of the criminality that's been going on, and that
the truth shall set us free, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Miraclesandgodwetrust.com to learn more. We're going to keep an eye on this appeal, keep an eye on what happens in this case. It just goes to show how evil and corrupt the government can be. We're talking about vexatious government, to say the least. The Declaration of Independence was a result of that, and now we're seeing it, sadly, history repeating itself in our day. Dr. Bradley, you get the final word today, sir.
I'll just quote Jefferson. He said, to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions is a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy. I believe that the courts have reached that point. Jefferson saw it 200 years ago. And I really, Ken and Barbie, I worry for your safety and your lives, actually, because... Yeah. There's so much at stake on this thing, and truly, I believe they're in a position that they cannot let you win, because it would have such a ripple effect. So you guys watch your back, Jack. I mean, this is, you know, so much is at stake that I don't believe that they're going to roll over on this thing. So
unless the good Lord has another plan, right?
Well, obviously the Lord intervenes, and sometimes, and I don't want to sound maudlin about
it. I know, and I know where you're going.
Revelation 6 and 9. I mean, there are those that are under the altar of the beast, basically, that have been sacrificed. And I fear for you. I pray for you. But honestly, there is a beast, not principality. I mean, labor against principalities and powers. I mean, Ephesians. Anyway,
we believe
good luck
in miracles,
to you, my friend.
Thank you very much,
ladies
folks.
And gentlemen, there you have it. You want to learn more, Ken, the website?
MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com, MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com, and the tab is the second one in, called Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS, Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS, or you can also go to CedarHillCitizens.com or .org, CedarHillCitizens.org, and that documents a lot of the...
We're flat out of time, yep. Ladies and gentlemen. We'll keep an eye on this case and bring it to you as it unfolds. No one's telling Ken's side of the story is part of the problem. Where's the mainstream press to tell both sides of the stories and be honest and fair and open and transparent? That's what I would ask and challenge the media to do. God save the Republic of the United States of America.